Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunniest side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like to reach.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to For Crying Out Loud.
Lynette's so tired.
No, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm happy here.
You are?
Happy. As long as nobody's wanting anything from me, I'm fine. As long as I can just sit and relax and talk to you people, I'm just fine.
I know. I really look forward to our podcast.
I do too. Sometimes I give myself a headache. I talk so much.
I don't feel like you do. I feel like I talk too much.
No. Well, I don't know.
It's my therapy.
It is.
I need to process my life.
You're a therapist, by the way. How many times do you go? I'm just curious because I'm trying to figure out if I should up my game and see her. Well, see, she's out of state, though, is my problem.
Well, okay, I see her once a week, but I have missed a few weeks because like last week I couldn't go because Xander was having his blocker put in. So I went last Tuesday when we recorded. And then I'll go next Tuesday. But then, like, if something, you know, if I can't go, I can't go. I don't really reschedule it. Like, I don't go, oh, I can't come this week, so let's do it on Thursday instead, because I feel like it's too much.
You just reminded me. Oh, my God, yes, I know. Natalia has an appointment tonight with her therapist.
Oh, she does?
Yes.
Like, at night?
The 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
Oh, so this is weird. Okay, so the other day, I was sitting next to Xander, and I noticed on his leg, he has, like, this bump. But it's like a – it's weird. It's like a bone is sticking out of the side of his – yeah, it's really weird, and I'm taking him to the doctor.
Where? On the side of his where?
He's going to the doctor on Thursday.
On his arm?
On his leg. So, in here, it's like about like on below his knee, like at the top of his, is that your tibia? This bone, your shin bone, right? Well, it's like there's like a lump and it's hard like a bone. I don't think it's cancerous. Okay. Wow. But I was like, what is that? And then, so he had just had the blocker put in. So he was like, not in the mood for any other medical stuff.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I don't know what it is.
What is this? And he goes, Mom, it doesn't hurt. It's not bothering me. It's been there for a long time. And I was like, well, that's weird. It shouldn't be there. It's pretty big. It's like a lump. But it's hard, like a bone. So I was like, so Julie felt it.
Yeah.
I was like, Julie, what's this? She's a physician's assistant, a PA. And she's like, I don't know. But I think a doctor needs to look at it. So I was like, okay. So Xander's like, no, don't call a doctor. I don't want to see a doctor. I was like, Xander, they're not going to give you a shot. And it's not, it's a hard lump like a bone. So they're not going to like try to stick a needle in it. They're not going to do anything.
Okay.
But maybe they'll x-ray it.
Yeah.
But so then I Googled and it said that it's actually could be common. It's like a tumor, but that it's non-cancerous. They oftentimes happen at the top of your leg, at the legs or arms, and it's like covered in bone. And sometimes they do nothing but watch it. But if it interferes, it could interfere with their growth plate. I don't know. So I'm going to get it checked out, and
that's
I'll tell you what it is on our next podcast.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, but I called the doctor and I was like explaining it to her and she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And I Googled it and she's like, you should not be Googling it. I was like, I know. But how many times do people ever heed that advice?
Right. Of course.
Of course I Googled it. I was like, but don't worry. I'm not freaking myself out. It's probably nothing, but I think it should be looked at.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't need surgery.
Man, I don't know. I know. That would be the, oh my God, if he needed surgery. No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It's just like one thing after another when you have kids.
I know.
Does the fun never stop?
No, it just continues.
It's like you have to like do stuff for him. Like you can't just be like, well, I'll just leave
it. Yeah, it reminds me. So I had a conversation with a dude on this trip, one of the dudes. I don't want to out anybody, but one of the guys that work around here, Ben, they're thinking about becoming a dad. And he's just like, is my life going to be over?
Kaylin.
Yeah, I know. Kaylin's trying not to look.
I think I'd need a girlfriend before that happened.
No. But I'm talking about Brandon, not you. Ah. Well, I'll tell you in a minute. But first, let's talk about Digster real quick.
Oh.
Digster has our playlist on there. Did you know that?
I know that. You know that because
mm-hmm. you did it for me. Mm-hmm. You did my playlist. Digster is soundtracking your world in one playlist at a time. If you go to digster.fm, you'll see what we're talking about. They have 1,000 playlists, like your best friend made for your – like when you – yeah, like when you have a best friend that makes you a mixtape.
Yes.
Like my friend Jennifer used to do that. She used to do all the Foo Fighter – all the – like I have all these Foo Fighter or I'll have all the best rap songs of all time or, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. They make a – and you can also do it for your kids. They have kid-friendly shows.
I have such a varied taste in music too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mine was like Jonathan Brooke and then Tupac.
Yeah.
You know? So you can get like a very interesting playlist. Mm-hmm. Go to digster.fm/FCOL and you can hear both mine and Lynette's favorites.
Yes. And you know what else though they have, which I like? They have lullabies. I remember playing lullaby playlists for my kids.
Yeah.
The Dixie Chicks had an album that was all lullabies.
I love that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm going to get that going again.
Kenny Loggins has a lullaby album too that's so good. It's got Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin. Yeah, Pooh Corner.
Mm-hmm. Aw, you see, you guys could do that for your little babies. So go check it out at digster.fm/FCOL. That's where you follow and share it and you listen to it. You can see what songs we put together. Again, go to digster.fm/FCOL and follow, share, and listen to the For Crying Out Loud playlist.
Yeah. Also, while we're at it, while we're telling you guys about cool stuff, Fleur.
Fleur.
Fleur. Oh, you made it sound like it smells pretty.
Fleur.
Like a fleur de lis.
I have a friend named Fleur.
Okay. Here's what it is. They create expertly crafted, sustainably produced perfumes without the bad stuff, and they're sold at a good, honest price. It's a new way of discovering and experiencing fragrance. So what it is like you answer some questions, and they will find you the perfect perfume.
That's so cool.
I know. It's very cool.
I'm going to do that.
Because it's hard to find the right perfume for yourself.
I know. I'm going to totally do this.
They put the feeling back mm-hmm. in fragrance, mm-hmm. you know? Here's what they do. Instead of testing a scent on a strip of paper or worse, being ambushed in a busy department store, you know, with the ladies that try to spritz you against your will.
I hate that.
Yeah. Instead of that, you can actually try them on your own skin at your own place and your own pace so you can decide what you like. And they're censored gender-free,
mm-hmm.
which you know I enjoy.
I was going to say, that's nice.
Yes. Fleur is a completely transparent fragrance company. So I went on there, and you know, they sent me one. And my favorite is the Hanami. I don't know. It smells really like fresh
mm-hmm.
and fragrant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Floral. It's so good. I love it.
Yes. And I got the Almstead and Va.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the names of them are hard to pronounce, but you're really going to like it. They're all really cool. Go to fleur.com today. Use the promo code FCOL and get 20% off your custom Fleur sample set. They'll give you 3 cents to try. So go to fleur.com right now and use the code FCOL.
Yeah.
You were about to tell us about somebody who wants to have a baby.
Yeah. Well, his wife really wants to have the baby.
Okay.
And, so we were talking. We were in New York City talking. And he was like, is my life going to be over? Like, I'm just, you know, he's like, the only thing I just worry about is.
Over is a really strong word.
He doesn't mean over. He says.
It's not going to be good.
He said, and I agree, I know, when you're he's a little older, like he's young, 40, like 42, I think.
Okay, yeah.
And he's like, I'm just tired all the time. I'm tired. I can't imagine having like a little toddler. I go, but you know what? You just do it. And he agreed. He's like, yeah, I know. You just do it. But I said, look, and I tell this the way we always say, the first 5 years, you're in, you know, you're some rolling calls. You're in the mailroom. You're in, you know.
Yeah, you're not rolling calls. You don't even get to use the phone. You're in the mailroom. Yeah. You're working.
Yeah, you're somebody's bitch 24/7. Right.
Yeah.
Working for that promotion. Then you get the promotion around 4.5, 5 years, and then you get to put your feet up and relax.
Well, not really. First year at a cubicle.
But as a dad, years. I think, for the most part.
Yeah. As a dad, you might not even ever be in the mailroom.
You might get the promotion. Right.
If your wife's home, if your wife's really into it and like, I don't want to work,
right,
then you can be like, well, you asked for this.
And maybe you got a mother-in-law that can help out, too. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
I was, by the way, being funny. So any of the dads at home that are now, like, completely offended by me?
Oh, screw it. Oh, they know.
Just keeping it real, you know?
Keeping it real.
Look, as the way it goes, mm-hmm, no matter what, even if your dude is a stay-at-home dad, the thing is, the baby,
it wants,
normally.
Yeah.
You are going to be, as a mom, like, so attuned to that baby's crying. Like, it's going to affect you much more than it affects a guy. They mm-hmm. just – they're not wired for worrying about every cry.
Right.
They're like, why don't you just let it cry it out a little bit? And right. we're like, what? You animal. How could you? Who have I married? You're dangerous. You should
not
be in jail.
Who I thought you were. Who are you?
Let it cry. You know, the first time the doctor's like, you know, you can let them cry for a few minutes. You're just like, you might as well have been stabbed in the chest. You're like, how could I possibly do that? Like, if it cries, you pick it up.
Right. Well,
then you do realize.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
the hormones right. start subsiding a little bit, you're like, oh, yeah.
Right.
They're fine.
That's the other thing that I said. You don't have to worry about the hormones. They have to do in vitro. So, you know.
So they're going to be more hormonal.
Yeah. But he's not.
He's not.
But he's going to have to deal with it. But I did it, and I told him, I said, I wasn't very – you didn't do it.
No, people – you know what? I'm glad you brought this up because I got to tell you that when we go out for questions, mm-hmm. number one question, frequently asked question, FAQ, is to tell us about like your experience doing in vitro.
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
they always want to know like how – what happened.
Because
we both have twins.
Well, yours came natural.
Yeah, I hate the word term natural, but yeah, I mean,
well,
we didn't
have
do
to
anything.
Do anything. You just, you know, had sex and got pregnant.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get pregnant at 30, started I think at 32 or 33. Yeah.
Okay.
About right.
Tell us the story. Let me settle
in. I thought you were going to talk more this episode. Anyway, and Dr. Drew said, you know, Dr. Drew would once in a while, by the way, Mr. Triplets, okay, he would say, how's it going? You getting pregnant yet? Just go to the fertility, because I was going to just my OBGYN,
right.
The same one that Melissa went to, and she got pregnant, no problems. All my friends went to,
right.
Susan, you know, so, and then eventually Drew was like, if you want to get pregnant.
So when you say eventually, hold on, how many months did you try? And then you were like, what's
so they,
up?
I did the Clomid. At
but
first.
Before that, first year, did you ever just try?
Yeah, so we just tried.
For how long?
Well,
months,
I would say
a
couple
year?
Months. I would get the
ovulation
kit and the pregnancy. I get all that stuff at Rite Aid and bring it home. And then we, you know, now it's like, okay, I think I'm ovulating. Well, you know, so we would try. We gave it like a couple months. And then Adam, I was doing Loveline with Drew. And Drew would say, if you really want to get pregnant, you need to. She has to not just go to her OBGYN. She has to – he goes, first of all, I hate to tell you this, but when you hit 35, that's it. Like your chances of getting pregnant goes down way low. Doesn't matter how great you feel, how in shape you are. That's the facts. And that's how – that. And that's what I was talking about with my friend the other day because his doctor said the same thing. You know, when the wife turns 30 – but I was like 33, 34. So – you know, it's still, it's like time. And then Adam's 5 years older.
Hey, but you're like, why are you sending my eggs into the old age home?
Yeah,
I'm
why?
Not there
I
yet.
Know, I'm not
33.
There. Like, slow your roll.
Yeah.
So you know, so then my OBGYN gave me the Clomid, and then that didn't work. Then I still stuck with her, and then she did the turkey basting thing.
IUI?
Yeah.
Intrauterine.
Oh, wait. Yes.
IUI.
Whatever the fuck.
Intrauterine insemination.
Right.
So that's where... In case you're listening and you're like, I'm like many years off from trying to have a baby. Mm-hmm. But that's a step before IVF. That's where they take the sperm mm-hmm. and they put it in the turkey baster.
Yes.
But they have a more medical term. And then they shoot it in at the time that you're ovulating exactly, and they hope that they will manually make sperm meet egg.
Right. And I remember that day, and Adam had to go to the office, and they sent him, you know, they gave him the cup to put his semen in, and then they sent him off into an office that had, like, parenting magazines.
What?
He's like, even if I could have, look, I'm not a dirty old man. I get it. There's women around. Just give me a car magazine or something. Like a car magazine with a hot chick on the cover, you know, like standing next to a Mustang in a bikini. Something. Like, what am I just sitting here reading parenting magazine? How is that going to work?
That's so weird.
I remember. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Because it probably wasn't a place where they're normally doing that.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But you would think they would be. They have a thing. They have like a, in the old days, didn't they have like a VCR? Pop a little porn in there.
That's what you would think. Maybe they did event. Maybe he, you know, yapped it up. I don't know.
Nice girls suck cock too.
Yeah.
So. Or three.
So, yeah. Then we did that. Oh, and then I did get pregnant, technically. Off of that. I remember.
Off the IUI.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I said to the doctor, I didn't get my period. And then she said, okay, we'll give it a little more time. I don't remember. I just remember, oh, then they said, we'll come in, we'll do the blood test. I came in, I did the blood test. They said that I was pregnant, but you're not. You had a, I had a.
Chemical pregnancy?
Yes, a chemical pregnancy. And that was that. So then I got my period. And then I was like, all right. But I wasn't like, what am I? You know, I was just like doing whatever the doctors would tell me to do.
Really? So you weren't bummed?
I mean, I think I was, but I wasn't like in the depressed. I was, yeah, of course I was just disappointed, I would say. But I wasn't that, you know, I don't know, like, you know, sitting in bed all day or like, why can't I get pregnant? So then I was at that point, I was like, okay, good. I actually looked at it as a good sign because that means something can happen. Something's going on. I think that's even what the doctor said. And at that point, that doctor said, your doctor friend, Dr. Drew, Mr. Highfalutin, Hollywood doctor friend, he's right. You need to go to – and then they gave me the OBGYN. And then I went to him. I fell in love with him. Like,
and the fertility doctor.
Yeah, the fertility doctor. Dr. – it'll come to me.
Bustenfar?
Yes, Dr. Bustenfar.
That's who my sister-in-law went to.
I loved him, and I don't. And when I say I loved him, it doesn't. I did not say
he's the guy in the valley. By the way,
yeah, I'm not saying it in a. I'm attracted to him, although he was a young, handsome guy.
I've met him.
Yeah, he's very charismatic. In fact, he was on an episode of Adam's show. That one show where he tore the house down. Adam bought his dad's house. The Adam Carolla Project.
Okay.
They tried to make it personal, too. So they showed scenes of me going, like, can we go with you to the doctor's office? And Dr. Bustenfar was like, yeah, okay. So they filmed him going, yeah. So you had a chemical pregnancy. So now I'm going to get you pregnant. He goes, throw all that shit that you got at Rite Aid. Seriously. He was like, and this is one for the cameras. This was just one-on-one. He goes, throw all that in the trash. That's over. I'm getting you pregnant. Look at me. I'm the one that's going to get you two pregnant. So listen to me. I said, okay, done and done. And then he prescribed this medication. Then I had to go to like this place in Encino that has like it only like specialized. It's a pharmacy that specializes in
I know
hormones.
Exactly where this place is.
Yeah.
It's like by support. It's like by Haskell kind of. Yeah.
Yes, on Ventura Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And very expensive, by the way. And I don't think our insurance covered it. No, I don't think so.
Probably not.
And I just remember, geez Louise, this is like, how do people, that's insane.
So it's more intense than Clomid.
Yes. So now I'm buying needles. So now I'm getting, now I'm doing, he's like, you're doing in vitro. This is the next step. And I said, well, why, but what is it that, why can't we get pregnant? He goes, you are in the unexplained. Sometimes it's because of this. Sometimes it's because of this. He shows me a chart. And then this, sometimes it's unexplained. You and him, they tested his sperm. In fact, he did a man show bit because I remember Gina Kimmel, Jimmy's wife. Jimmy and Adam did a bit on the man show where they went to the doctor's office and gave the sperm, like who had the most sperm, the strongest sperm. Adam won. Like his sperm beat out Jimmy's.
Oh.
Jimmy already had two kids and Adam's like 2 years older than Jimmy. So.
So they're like, the problem is Lynette.
Yeah. So you're getting older. So I'm like 33 and a half, maybe approaching 34. So he says,
you're like, I could still totally be a stripper if I wanted to.
Oh, geez. And he's like, no, listen, It's strictly the numbers are against you when you turn 35. So he sends me to the pharmacy. I get all these needles. He tells me exactly, this is the days and times. This is the calendar. This is when you're going to do.
So romantic.
So many times. I mean, I remember going in there and him going, okay, now you're going to have sex this weekend. You're going to have sex between.
You and Adam.
And Adam. Between this. Not just you and not just Adam.
You guys are going to have to.
But not even just have sex. You're going to have sex on this day between this time and this time. Like between, you know, a chunk of hours.
Right.
I was like, how the fuck do you know that? But okay. And so did the shots, like a month worth of shots.
Okay.
Every night. Adam, I couldn't bring myself to do it. Now I hear when you tell me Sadie does it and everything, I'm like, oh, I'm such a wimp. Why didn't I do it?
But those go into your muscle, right?
Yeah.
So what Sadie does is called subcutaneous, yes, and it's very teeny, 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 tiny little needle, and it just goes in your skin.
Yeah.
This one was more real.
The needle was about, well, I'm going to get to the better. So the needle was about maybe, I don't know, half an inch or an inch maybe.
Okay.
And yes, it's got to go in your butt or in your arm, like where there's muscle. So I always did it in my butt, and Adam did it. Just bam, done. Okay.
Did it hurt?
A little bit, but what? I mean, it was fine. It wasn't like where you get a shot and you're like, oh, I'm sore kind of thing. It was done. I remember he had to travel during that month, and he was out of town for 2 days. And I was with Gina Kimmel a lot. And she was like, give me that ass. I'll give you a shot. And I was like, no, I don't. And then Dr. Bruce was around, like, with his laser, doing laser parties. So he gave me the shots. But anyway, so
God, I wish Dr. Bruce, sorry, but I just had a little fan. Dr. Bruce was doing laser parties?
Oh, yeah.
I need him to get back into that.
That's how he did. Remember, you know, me and Gina had a spa?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that started because he bought a laser. Adam co-signed for it. And Adam never saw that money again.
Oh, no. Does he still have it?
No.
Oh, the thing probably, man.
Like, blew up in smoke and broke down.
Oh.
I don't know. You know, equipment constantly is changing.
Right.
His wife, though, was wonderful. And his wife worked at a med spa. She was also an OBGYN, but she also, like, dated his ex-wife dated an OBGYN doctor and then did med, whatever. Anyway, yes, we did. We had laser parties. Yeah, Gina's
totally been up for that.
I know. It was great. So he came around, gave me a shot. Then at the end of the month, there at the time that where I'm ovulating, there's bigger needles, uh-huh. And I think you do it like I think it's the night before you go in. So okay, so they give you all the shots. But then at the very end, there's a big shot, and that's the shot you got to do between this time and this time. And then you got to have sex, and then you're going to come in the next day.
Why do you have to have sex?
I don't remember.
Just curious.
It was something like that. So then that.
To get the juices
retrieve.
Flowing or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah. So then, well, the needles ain't getting me pregnant. You got to have the sperm in there.
Well, but they're going to put sperm in there.
No, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, they are.
No, yeah, they're going to take my eggs out.
Oh, right. And then they're going to introduce them to some sperm.
And then they're going to introduce them to some sperm.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's Adams or somebody. Now, maybe at that point I should have said, well, let's think about this for a second. What?
Slow your roll. I've got some other contenders.
It seems like some genetic thing. So then, yes. So then I have the shots. Then I go in the next day. They do give me a little bit of a sedative. And they take the sperm. They take the eggs out.
Did that hurt?
I just remember not being excited about that part. I didn't like that part. And then I was like, okay. It didn't hurt. It was just like, I felt like I was having my period afterwards.
Okay.
But they gave me a sedative. Like, I remember that. I was like, oh, cool.
Okay.
Then I went home, and then I was that. And
yes.
Then
– score drugs.
Yes. Then I went to work. I remember working at that spa with Gina, and then like a week – later, he says, okay, now come on in. I'm going to show you the results of what we got going here. So he says, this embryo A, it's about 40, less than 40% chance it's going to take. We're going to put that in. But then I go, wait, Dr. Bustafar, I don't want to have a bunch of kids at once. Can I just do one at a
time?
I'm
not the Octomom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one. Please, just one. He goes, trust me. Trust me. You're not going to have a bunch. Just trust me. He says, we do
this. Do you think two is a bunch? If you think two is a bunch, yeah, you're going to have a bunch.
He says to me, he goes, we have to do it because of the odds. This embryo A is less than 40%.
Right.
Embryo B is less than 20%. 20% or less. Embryo C is 11%. And I said, well, first of all, hold on. This doesn't sound very good.
You didn't have any good ones?
These are not good odds.
Yeah, where's your 80%?
I know. And he goes, this is how it goes, honey. This is in vitro. You know, well, hopefully maybe next month we get them stronger. But that's just, he says, we'll just put these in. I go three, and he goes, just trust. And hopefully, maybe, I don't know. He didn't say this, but maybe all three of them get together and they become one baby. I don't know. He goes, no, just it'll increase your odds, he said, if I put these three in. I said, okay. So then he put them in. Yeah. Then he put them back. Right?
Yeah, they meet them together, and then they re-put them
back in me.
Right, and then you, like, couple days later, then you got to lay down.
Yes, and that, I don't really think
I like
that
the
was,
fact that I haven't had this done, know, but I've had so many friends do it that I know what happens.
Right.
Then you got to not move around a lot. You got to, like, stay in bed.
That was fine. Like, the retrieval I wasn't happy about. Right. But you know what? I do remember the day that they did the retrieval of the eggs was our anniversary. It was the day we got married, which was
kind of interesting.
That's
kind of a good sign.
Yeah. So then I got embryo A, 40%, 20%, 11%. And then I say, okay, fine. He puts them in. And then I lay down, whatever. And then, like, a week later, he says, come in and do a blood test. I give them my blood, but they don't tell me right then and there. Maybe they do now, but back then they did. It was 12 years. So then I go to work. Then I get the phone call. And it's the doctor's office. We have the results. The nurse says, she goes, you are pregnant. And I said, I am. And she goes, honey, you're very pregnant.
What?
I go, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
There's more than one. And I was like, how many? And she goes, well, you have to come in and have meeting. And you have to have your, you know, have your exam with the doctor. I was crying. I was like, oh, my God, what did I do to myself?
This is why we're such good friends. Yeah, because I was crying too.
I was so upset. I was like, why did we do this? What am I going to do?
Me
I can't
too.
Have, like, three? What? Fuck you, Dr. Drew. Why did I listen to you,
and
Dr. Drew?
And Dr. Boostenfar.
And Dr. Boostenfar.
Oh, fuck all y'all.
All y'all. Fucking, now I got to have three babies? And, oh, my God, no. So then I go in. Adam's with me now.
No, what did Adam say when you told him?
Well, so now Adam comes with me.
But you told him first, like, yes, I got a phone call and I'm apparently very pregnant. There's more than one.
Yeah. He's like, all right. Well, that's good.
That's like good, John,
right?
Too.
I was like, yeah, all right. So I go, okay, well, you're going to come with me on the appointment when we come and see what's really going on.
Yeah.
Because the Dr. Boosenfar was like, don't just relax. Just, there's a lot of things that can be happen between now and 9 months. So
I love the doctors. They're like, a lot can go wrong.
Yeah.
Don't even
chill.
Worry about it.
Oh, my God. So then Adam comes with me. So then he does the ultrasound and he goes, okay. He goes, wow, look at this. So
you already have heartbeats.
Heartbeats are going.
Already.
Three heartbeats.
That's fast.
So he goes, see this? This is embryo A. I go, that's Mr. 40%. That's embryo B. That's 20%. I said, oh, my God. And then embryo C was, like, going, but you can kind of see it, but you can – but those two
– runt.
Were, right. Those two are, like, my niece called it, Wilbur.
Okay.
She named it. I don't know. I remember going back to work saying, okay, I have three heartbeats, but two are going strong and then one – off to the side. So then we go to the office and sit down.
Isn't
and
that
I
just
start
how it
crying.
Is? Like one, they're always bullying one. Like one's off
know,
to the
I'm
side.
Going,
they're
I
like,
know,
I don't know.
I know. You're on your own. So we go and we sit down in his office, me, Adam, and him. He goes, okay, let's go to my office and talk. I start crying immediately. And he goes, honey, don't cry. This is good. This is good. You want to have babies. This is okay. You can do it. And Adam was just, his only concern was, can she hold three? Is it going to be okay for nine? You know, and he said, yes. And then he said, who's your OBGYN? And I said, Dr. Wong. And he goes, oh, do you like her?
That's his wife.
Thank you, Stephanie, for stepping
on
my joke.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I got excited about the story.
Yeah. He goes, how do you like her? And I go, she was fine, but she couldn't get me pregnant. That's why I came to you. And he goes, yeah, that's my wife. I was like,
they love that. They think that's some good.
I guess they do
cool
that
thing. Yeah.
Really? fucking
But
A.
You know, before we ever met each other.
Yes.
So I went to Dr. Wong's partner at the time.
Dr. Enten. He's the one who delivered my babies.
He did?
Yeah, he was there. He delivered them.
Have we ever discussed this?
Yes.
Because I don't like him.
Oh, you don't?
No. And I wrote about him in my book.
Really?
Yes, I wrote about him because he's the one, when I went in, when I was pregnant with twins,
mm-hmm.
I didn't like my first OB that delivered LB. That guy was just the worst, just mm-hmm. a dick. He's out of the business now,
mm-hmm.
and I can't even remember his name. But so I was looking for a new OB. I found out I was pregnant, like home pregnancy test, and was like, oh, shoot, mm-hmm. I need an OB. And I had heard of Dr. Wong, and I called, and they're like, well, you need to see Dr. Enten first. Mm-hmm. She'll only see you once your pregnancy is viable after 7 weeks.
Right.
But now I'm only like 4 weeks along, and I'm having a little spotting.
Mm-hmm.
So when I called, I was already a little panicked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know I was pregnant at that. I was also pregnant with triplets.
Wow.
And lost one.
Right. Okay.
Thank God.
Okay.
But – right. I mean, the point is I was super hormonal and I didn't know. I was like super early along, but I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having that awful, which I had with both pregnancies, awful beginning of the pregnancy, mm-hmm. just feeling paranoid and super irritated,
right. Boobs
and
hurting.
Like crazy. Yeah. And just, I felt crazy,
mm-hmm.
like a little out of reality. Mm-hmm. And like, so I, when I called them, I was like, okay, well, I only wanted to see Dr. Wong because mm-hmm. I'd heard good things about her.
Yeah.
But then they're like, well, you have to see Dr. Enten first. So I come in and he's like, all right. And I noticed that there was headshots.
Heather Locklear.
Like, yeah, Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this, a car wash?
I know.
Like, what are you bragging?
Heather Locklear. Thanks for the pizza.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you've seen Heather Locklear's vagina.
Yeah.
Like, good for you.
Thanks, Dr.
What do you want, a cookie?
I know.
Yeah. And then so he told me. And I know I'm hijacking your story, so we'll get right back
I
to it.
Know but what
so he was like, he does an ultrasound to see why I'm spotting. He goes, he doesn't find anything in there. He can't see anything. There's no, he's like, I don't see anything. And I was like, well, I took the pregnancy test was very positive,
mm-hmm.
and I feel pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, let's do some blood work and then come back in a week,
mm-hmm.
or come back in a few days. So I did blood work. They call me, and the results were that my blood test was high. My beta levels were high. Like, they mm-hmm. were, like, in the, like, almost 400 or mm-hmm. something. And remember, it's super early on.
Yeah.
It's, like, at the time where I had just missed my period.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, he called me, and he was like, yeah, something to the effect of, I don't like your odds. Like, he said something like that. Like, I don't know. It's probably not a viable pregnancy. Like, some kind of dickish thing that you don't say to somebody
right.
when they're already kind of paranoid.
Right.
And it was a wanted pregnancy. So
right.
I was like, what?
Right.
Why are you saying that? He's like, well, I should have seen something. Based on your numbers, I should have seen something. Like, in your uterus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. So, so anyway, I go back in a couple days later. He looks again. Then he sees a sack, one sack, but nothing in it. So he's like, he goes, go to get your. So we went to go do blood work again, and my numbers had like tripled a couple days later.
Well,
he goes, well, your numbers are now I'm at like 2,000 or 3,000 mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, isn't that good? He goes, I'd give you like a 50-50 chance.
Oh, what a dick.
So I'm very overreactive because mm-hmm. I am super freaking pregnant with triplets that we didn't know.
I have no attachment to him. I mean, he's neither here nor
but
there.
So I was really mad because
mm-hmm.
I remember just being like kind of storming out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the receptionist was like, are you okay? Tries to give me a lollipop.
Lollipops.
I was like, I'm fine. And I'm kind of crying. And she's like, oh, so I ended up calling them later. Oh, so I get home. And I call around for another OB, and I get Dr. Perlow, mm-hmm. Rebecca Perlow, who's mm-hmm. amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I go in to see her at 7 weeks, and she checks, and she's like, oh, yeah, there's the heartbeat. And I was like, well, Dr. Enten said that there was probably not a viable pregnancy. And she's like, oh, a lot of times you don't see anything that early.
Mm.
She's like, you're fine. Still didn't see twins at that point.
Really?
A week later, I started bleeding.
But when they say your numbers are high, don't they think it's more than one?
So this is what he said. No, because he's like, I go, well, why are my numbers so high? He goes, well, it could be an ectopic pregnancy.
Mm. Mm.
He just was like, I'm not feeling good about it.
Right.
Well, fuck you. Right, well, you're not feeling good about it.
Right.
So anyway, I didn't go back to him. And then I remember I called the office and I was like, by the way, I won't be coming back. I'm not your patient anymore. And by the way, you can tell Dr. Enten that I am pregnant and it's perfectly fine. And I'm seven and there's a heartbeat and everything's fine.
Right.
And I didn't need his negativity or whatever.
Yeah, so take you and your fucking headshots and shove
them. But he retired like very shortly after
that. Oh, he did?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, it was, because my kids are older. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was at the very tail end of
he got in an argument with Adam in the operating room. When
he
the kids
did?
Were, well, Adam picked on him a little.
So you go back to your story and then I'll tell you about finding out.
What a dick.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like Dr.
Big
Wong.
Chocolate teeth.
I like Dr. Wong. Like, she was really sweet. I wanted to go see her too. And I had, it was the same. Yeah. You had to go see him first. And then, I remember him. But then, they said
she must have been out when your babies were needed to be delivered.
Yes. She wasn't. Yeah. She couldn't do it that day. Maybe she was pregnant. I think she was pregnant, to be honest with you.
Oh.
I think she was on maternity leave. I think.
Okay.
Sure.
So take me back. I'm so sorry. I hijacked.
No, it's okay.
So you're in the office and he's like, don't worry.
So I'm crying.
And you can carry three.
And Adam says, he said, yes, don't. Just go home and relax and rest.
Were
and
you
remember,
like, be honest. Were you like, can we get rid of one?
Well, no, I'm getting there. So hold on. So I go home. I call Wendy, who's, my sister. And I say, now I got three. And I'm crying. She goes, that's wonderful. Don't cry. You can do it. Blah, 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 blah. I said, what's with this 40%? Now 40% is like going strong and 20% is going strong. And now I got this other, the third. I go, by the way, like what? Why three? Like 11%? Like why? What's going on? And I remember telling Wendy that he did say, if it gets to the point where you think it could be too much, you can do selective reduction.
Right.
Which I know, it's a lot of people are not, wouldn't want to do that. And so I had to really think strong and hard and tell Adam.
But when you're in the throes of fear and hormones, your mind latches on to like, okay, like even though I had the same thing and John was like, no, absolutely not. And I was like, well, why not? Like, and I was only carrying twins. I was like, we'll be fine. We'll just have one.
Right.
And he's like, no, we're not doing that. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Right. So he said, if you want, he goes, but don't he? And he said, don't even just let it just we're only like, I don't know. Yeah. Like 7 weeks we're in. It's very early on and you won't have to make that decision for a while. So just chill. I said, OK. So I said that to Wendy and Wendy was like, absolutely not. Absolutely. What does Adam say? I go, well, Adam's an atheist. So Adam's like, whatever you want, honey, it's fine with me. And but Wendy, triplets, like. She's like, you'll be fine. I'm telling you. She basically had triplets too. I mean, she had 1 year.
Irish triplets.
Yes. So I was not happy. I was depressed. I was upset. And then I think it was like 10 weeks. We went back again and there was those two were going strong. And there was that one still going. And at that point, he gave me the phone number of the doctor. There's one doctor that does it. And I said, but because these two are going strong and this one's like off to the side going, what do you want from me? Do you think maybe there's going to be something wrong with it? And he goes, no, I don't think that mattered. If I remember correctly, I don't think that mattered.
He's like, it's just going to be really skinny.
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing. Like, what is this? Is this going to be is this going to be
petite?
It's going to be, oh God.
The runt of the litter?
Yeah. Well, what's his name? Fredo. Is it going to be Fredo? I'm going to have I'm going to have like Santino and Michael Corleone. And is that going to be Fredo Corleone? People that watch The Godfather know what I'm talking about. So anyway. 12 weeks, we go back, and he's doing the ultrasound. And there's the two heartbeats, A and B. And then he goes, Lynette, I think you're in luck. I don't think you have to make a decision. And he's like, I don't see C. He goes, it happens all the time. He wasn't surprised. He goes, I told you, give it to at least 12 weeks. I was like, really? Really? There's just two? Really? And he goes, are you sure? And he goes, yes, it's a vanishing twin. It happens. I go, where'd it go? Is it going to come out or something? And he goes, no, it's just a vanishing pregnancy. It just, gets absorbed. And I was like, so I just have two now? And he goes, looks like it. I go, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
You're like, goes, it's not going to get really reanimated or something,
I
right?
I could not believe. I go, real. And then I was like, oh, I'm having twins. Yay. No problemo. No problemo.
Right. When you go from triplets to twins, you're like, then I was like, oh, this is going to be easy.
Yeah. Then I had to go to the doctor to do the thing. What's that? The test to see if
amnio, or did you do CVS?
CVS.
So you went to John Williams with the Bluetooth?
Yes. There's only one doctor in Los Angeles, apparently, that does it.
Oh, my God. We were living the same life.
So I went there, and I was scared of. That's when they take the needle, and they stick the needle into each sac to see the chromosomes, to see if they're healthy, to see – because I –
But for everybody out there – okay, so this is called a chronic villus sampling.
Mm-hmm.
I might be saying it wrong, but – it's okay. So what it is a lot of people don't have it. And in fact, one of my doctors who I had, my gyno when I lived in Santa Monica, was like, you don't want to have a CVS test because the chances of miscarriage are higher.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Williams, that's his name, Dr. John Williams, he's known, his thing is that his numbers are the same.
He's the one that does the test. He's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, some other people do it, but he's the guy, he like invented it.
Right.
And his numbers, his stats are such that it's no more risky at all than doing the amniocentesis.
Right.
But you get it done a lot earlier. You can have it done between 10 and 12 weeks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you can see, because I felt like with a child at home already and having twins, I was like, I need to know immediately if there's a major problem.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then you go there. And then I run into a girlfriend from ABC, one of the lawyers from ABC. She's like, you're pregnant? I go, yeah, I'm pregnant. She was doing the same thing. So I got that test. I didn't like that test at all. I was dreading it. I hated it. It's because, you know, he puts the, you know, anything where you got
to
put.
That one didn't bother me.
I don't like anything with the stirrups. I remember never going to get a pap smear for the last, like, 5 years after I had kids after that. I was like,
but this is – Dr. Williams' office is where I found out I had been pregnant with triplets.
Oh, really?
So I found out – so I had one.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week after Dr. Perlow said, there's the heartbeat, everything's great, a week later I started bleeding. And thought I was having a miscarriage. I've told you this story before, but went to the ER. They're like, they bring in the ultra. It's Memorial Day. There's nobody around.
Mm-hmm.
John and I'm crying. We're watching poker on TV. Mm-hmm. And they bring in the ultrasound tech from outside. And he goes, checks, and he goes, oh, yeah, the heartbeat's there. No, the baby's healthy. And the other one's healthy, too. And that's when I was crying, going, what? Uh-uh. No.
That's when you found
out. No, I'm not having twins. He was like, oh, you didn't know? Yeah. And I was like, didn't know? No. I was like, no, you don't understand. I was just at the dot. I just saw there was only one. And he's like, well, now there's two. And I was like, what the fuck? No. Then my brother was home watching Elby when we went to the doctor. And I remember my brother remembers me just coming in and I'm like crying. Mm-hmm. So he thought,
you lost the baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh. And I was like, I'm having twins. So mad. So I eventually like adjusted. And then I go. So a few weeks later.
Yes.
Like 2 weeks later, maybe 3 weeks later or something, I go to get the CVS test. And they're like, oh, there's a third sack here. And I was like, oh, holy shit. I was like, every fucking time I do an ultrasound, they're finding another one. I was so mad. And he goes, well, it's empty. And I was like, ugh. And he goes, did you have any bleeding? And I go, yeah. In fact, at 8 weeks, I had a massive bleed.
I
went into the ER. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, that's because you were originally having triplets.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
And what the one that was empty was apparently like attached to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been Sadie. It's possible, probably not, that that's the reason why she was smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one was like a parasite on the other, apparently.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
It happened so early, but one was separated. So, it was like fraternal, and then one would have been an identical twin.
Wow.
To one.
Oh, my God.
So crazy.
That's crazy.
But I was so happy to know that that had never
that's
materialized.
That's insane. Then the fact also that you didn't do any there was no, there's, that's just naturally happened. There was
no, at 40. But they say, and my OB told me this later, she was like, well, you know, your chances of having twins goes up when you get older because you start kicking out your body's like done with the eggs.
Right. They're like, what do we want to do with these
now? They're like, it's like a sale on leg warmers. They're like, well, we're not going to be needing these anymore. Can have 2-for-1.
Fire sale. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. So it ended up being Sonny was embryo A, Mr. 40%, and Natalia's Mrs. 20%. Those are the two. So, I mean, they don't move. He's embryo A. He's Mr. 40%. She's right. Mrs. 20%. Isn't that crazy?
Did you ever tell her?
Oh, I've told them this story. They know about Wilbur. They know. And my therapist was like, you should not have told them that. They like to hear these stories. They enjoy it. Whatever. I mean, I didn't tell them when they were 5. I just, you know, maybe 6 or 7. You run out of things to talk about.
It's a bedtime story.
Yeah. It was a nice bedtime story.
And then the triplet disappeared. Mm-hmm. Good night. Probably won't happen to you. I mean, you guys are fine. Out of the womb now.
Yeah.
I think the danger's passed.
It was just, yeah, that was the... That was something.
Aren't you guys glad that you've asked this question before?
Yeah, why? We just...
That's so funny. I'd forgotten about Dr. Enten.
Yeah.
Tell me that. So what happened? So Adam got in a fight with
him? I knew there was something else. So when I went to deliver... So first of all, they were due on June 6th of 2006. They were going their whole, 38 weeks? Because every 2 weeks I was going to get a checkup.
Right.
And they were like, okay, your kids are fine. They can go. They can come out. If you want, you can do a natural
vaginal
delivery. And I was like, no.
A vagina birth.
I don't want to do that. Please, no. Please. Can we just schedule a C-section?
Yeah.
I just want to be taken into the hospital. And yeah. You guys just take them out and you do it. Take them. I don't want to have to, like.
Oh, my God. No. We are so the same person sometimes.
I know. We are. And then also, like, I've read stories. Like, why do I want to risk their lives? So, like, what?
True.
You know, so, yeah. Screw that. So, and. I think it was Dr. Wong. So she was looking at the calendar and she goes, okay, so how about June 6th? That's their due date. I said, okay. And then I was like, wait, 6-6-6.
Oh.
I was like, too bad they weren't born the year later on 7-7-7.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been cool.
Slot machine.
I know. But so it was like 6-6-6. Well, I can't. Really? And then we were laughing about it. And I was like, I don't really care, but I don't want them to have that. Like,
listen how close I am to being a 6-6. So my birthday is 66. Mm-hmm. I was born, and I was born 7-5-66. So I could have been 7-6-66. I would have been 7-6-66. Or I could have been 6th.
Right.
5-6. Anyway, I was very close.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So you were like, no.
A lot of people apparently rescheduled their due dates to.
They're kind of slow.
Yeah,
on
they
the
were.
Sixth?
Yeah, they were like they
on 6-6.
Yeah, nobody wanted that, so I made it to the set. I said, "Okay, can we do the 7th?" She goes, "Oh, we could do the 5th." I go, "No, I like 7 is my lucky number." All right, so we'll do the 7th. So then that day, Adam was doing morning radio. Jimmy sat in and was hosting the show, and Adam took me to the hospital and was on the phone with Jimmy on air, like pretty much talking to Teresa.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that.
And so I went into the delivery room and now they're
Tarzana or Cedars?
Tarzana.
Okay, me too.
So now they're like sawing me open. And I say to Adam, and then Dr. Enten, and I was like, where's Dr. Wong? And he was like, whatever. So Dr. Enten comes in and I said, Adam, this is my doctor. I introduce him while I'm laying there. And he goes, oh, nice to meet you. And then I said, tell me when they start. And Dr. Enten goes, oh, honey, we already started. Can't you smell the flesh burning?
Ew.
He didn't say the flesh, but he goes, you smell this? And then I guess you're right. I can smell that flesh burning. And so then Adam goes, so then he brings him, the son comes out, the boy, here's your boy. And he gives him to me and Sonny's crying. And then they go, he goes to Adam. So here you go. You want to cut the cord. And we talked about this, but we really didn't really talk. And Adam goes, does somebody do it normally? I can do it if you want me to. Because Adam's kind of squeamish.
If you want me to.
He's like, if you need me to do it, but somebody does job.
If you need an assist, I mean, I guess I'm available.
He's like, why is it that we have to do that? Because he does not like, he's very squeamish. He doesn't like blood.
Oh my God, this is hilarious.
But he had to see them, like, cut me open and bring them out. And,
right.
And now,
he's like, I witnessed it. Why do I have to be participate?
Yes. So now Dr. Enton's a little like, all right, well, no, you don't have to do it. And he goes, no, all right. So then, and then they go, okay, here's your daughter. And then she comes out.
And he's like, again? With the, I did
he's
one.
Like, well, I did.
So then, I did the first one. Can't somebody else?
Lynette, you want to do it? Lynette, get to work. So then they go, okay, your babies are born. And they clean them, they wrap them, and then they put the hats on them. And Dr. Enton's working on me, stitching me up, which he right. did a phenomenal job, I have to say. No scar. Anyway, so he's putting me back together, and they bring the two twins out, and Adam goes, well, huh. How are we supposed to know who's who? What's with the striped pink and blue? He goes, don't you have like a pink hat? Because they put their little beanies
right,
on their
right,
head.
Right.
And the beanies in most hospitals are striped pink and blue.
Right.
He goes, which one's which? He goes, don't you guys have like a pink hat for the girl and a pink hat for the boy? Why is it got? So now he's arguing. Dr. Enton's like, well, that's kind of standard. That's how it is here. And Dr. Enton doesn't want to talk to Adam.
Right.
He's like he's being very short with Adam. And Adam's trying
he's
to do
like, your picture's not going up on my car wash.
Right. No. And Adam's trying to be like sticky. Like, well, what's with the, how are we supposed to, how, what the, where's the pink? Where's the blue? How about a wrap? When can't you actually have a pink blanket? Why
he's
is
Jerry
it?
Jerry Seinfeld all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden. I'm like, Adam, please
what's
stop.
What's with these people? What's
like,
with the pink
he's
hat?
Like, all right, congratulations.
Why do they have a pink hat and a blue hat?
He couldn't get out of there fast enough away from him. He was like, all right, I'm done. You're all sewed up. Congratulations. Bye-bye. I got somebody else to do. See ya. And I was like, all right.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Oh, my God. Did I ever tell you about we got to wrap. But did I ever tell you about my anesthesiologist who was only interested in how he could get a book deal?
Oh.
And I'm like freaking out because mm-hmm. I know that I've been in the hospital. I know one of my kids is going to have to be in the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm early. Mm-hmm. So it's 33 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm upset, mm-hmm. like very tense about whether these babies are. And the anesthesiologist only is just like, yeah, so what do you do?
Oh, God.
And I'm like, nothing. I'm a writer. Hey, what do you write? I wrote a book. And he's like, me too. I wrote a textbook. Who's your publisher? Do you have a publisher? Yeah, I swear to God. He was like, and he was not making small talk. He started asking me like, well, how do you get your book out there? Like, how's your book doing?
Oh, my God.
I was like, I'm gonna kill myself right now. Like, stop talking to me. Stop trying to fucking network.
I know.
And give me a spinal.
Oh, he was the one that was going to give you the – oh, God.
Yeah. He was the guy giving me the thingy. The
thing in the spine.
Epidural.
That was – yeah. Dude, fuck you. Just back up. See, that's the thing in Hollywood and L.A. There's always somebody trying to fucking –
you know what?
Deal,
he wasn't. Okay. I apologize because just in case for some reason it actually wasn't the guy who gave me the epidural was fine.
Then it was the operating in the
room with me, mm-hmm. the one who was monitoring my breathing and was doing the pain relief for when uh-huh. That's the guy. So that guy never left because the epidural guy was gone. He came and gave me the – he's gone. Now I got this guy by my side the whole time, wouldn't stop talking to me about his book deal and how he's going to sell his textbook. It was like not even a real book.
This is the same hospital as mine.
Yeah, Tarzana.
I remember – see, my lady was nice because I was like, this is my first time. Can you please talk to me? I've never even had surgery. I've never been in the hospital before. I've never even had stitches before. Can you just – she's like, oh, honey, you're going to be fine. It's a great day. You know, blah, blah, blah. She was very sweet and very nice.
That's
I couldn't
good.
Imagine if he was trying to fucking like – she was trying to like, you know, sell me something. I would have killed myself. She was like really the one I was talking to.
Yeah.
That's the person.
Because you need that.
Yeah, need that, like, security person. Because everybody else is busy talking and complaining.
Yeah.
And I needed somebody to talk to. She was – now that you mention it, oh, my God. If I were you, I would have that guy.
Like, I was so annoyed.
I would have been – that's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, speaking
of
blood.
That's our story, you guys.
Look, you guys
have
your period.
Oh, my God, hilarious.
Yeah, if you have your period, I got my period.
I mean, if you're pregnant, you're not having a period. But other than that
– Flex.
Flex is – it fits your lifestyle. It could be worn for 12 hours and you can – it's easy to change if you're on the go. It allows you to live like you're not on your period, Lynette.
I use those. They're like a cup, okay? They're like – they're a little cup. I know it sounds strange, but once you get the hang of it, honestly, it works like a charm and you can even have sex with them in. And you know, it relieves cramping. It totally helps with the cramping, I have to say. The tampons, I hate. And these things are – this thing is genius. They're little flexi cups, and they're disposable, and they're easy, and they're, of course, body safe, FDA registered. And they it's amazing. You got to check it out.
It's safer.
Right.
It's actually safer than tampons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's the TS. I always thought I was going to get toxic shock syndrome.
Yeah. So it's not going to slow you down. It's comfortable. And it can hold five – this is gross. But it can hold a lot of blood. That's what we're trying to say.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to get so specific, but
– Well, we just talked about sawing our body open, so that's okay.
That's true. That's true. It doesn't sit in the canal like a tampon.
No.
Or a cup, like the Diva cup. So that means it not only reduces the cramps and irritation, but – other stuff like mess-free sex, like you were saying.
And anyway, once you get the hang of it, it's easy to get in and out. Trust me.
And this is it's got a funny way to get it. Okay, here's what you're going to want to do. Go to ihatetampons.com. Mm-hmm. That's not a joke. Go to ihatetampons.com and use the promo code FCOL. You're going to get 30% off your first purchase. So go to ihatetampons.com and enter FCOL.
Try it. If you guys like it, tell me what you think, because I think it's a great invention. Yes.
Patreon.
Yes.
We love our Patreon. We love our Patreon listeners. We're about to record Patreon where I'm going to read a funny email and give a follow-up to Sadie's play date.
I can't wait.
Which is private. You know how it is.
Yeah.
But if you're on our $50 subscriber level, you get a shout-out for your business like Michelle McKibben, who's a mortgage loan consultant with B of A now. She changed companies.
Nice.
And you can email her at michelle.mckibben@bankofamerica.com. Okay, do it. Kristen Ross is with Babierge, Babierge. And she works out of San Diego to pimp out your hotel room, your car, whatever with baby stuff. Find her at babierge.com/Kristen, KRISTIN 119. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
CBD oil. Even bacon flavor for dogs.
I love that. That's
I'm going to call or email Letty Molina.
Yes.
And get some of that bacon flavor
too.
For Penelope.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Because you know why? It helps with allergies, arthritis due to old age. And I want to – Penelope has allergies and arthritis.
Now, this CBD stuff is great stuff. According to the doctor, it's good for the it's good for people too.
Yeah.
And it's not – it has no THC in it.
Nope. So go to HempWorks, HempWorks.com/L Molina. Also, Christy Lewis is a professional grade makeup. She does – and skincare. So you can find Christy Lewis at DramaticLashes.net.
Ooh, I love
check
that.
Her out. And just a couple more. Jamila Lowe says, are you still in the mailroom? Well, she's a child care consultant and she's here to help. And you can find her on the web at culturalcare.com/JLOW. That's culturalcare.com/JLOW.
Can I say that's a very good service to have?
Yeah.
I could have used that when I had babies.
I know.
I was lucky to have a friend that's a doctor, but you call her.
Yeah, call Jamila. Also, Elise Ungs does your favorite thing, the photo printed on wood.
Beautiful.
Or a custom wood sign. Go to Shimlee, Shimlee.com or Instagram at Shimlee USA to see their products.
It's a great gift. Somebody
absolutely.
Gifted to Adam a picture on wood. Looks awesome.
Lisa Dahl, spelled with two S's. Has a online-based women's clothing boutique. She's got really cute stuff.
Mm.
So go to Lisa, L-I-S-S-A, theshop.com and check out all of her cute loungewear. That's it. Mm-mm. All right. Thank you, Kaylin.
Thank you.
Thank you to our listeners.
Okay.
Talk to you next week. You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
Shit. Shit.